Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast to end all podcasts. So I went to the doctor. It turns out I had a chest infection. So I'm on antibiotics and hopefully I'll be back as good as new in a couple of days. You know, we're nearly finished this book because there's quite a lot of epilogue in this book. So I think by maybe like the beginning of December, we'll have finished. We're drawing towards the end. That's kind of exciting. Alright, this is book 13, chapter 5. Next day, the decrepit Kutuzov, having given orders to be called early, said his prayers, dressed, and with an unpleasant consciousness of having to direct a battle he did not approve of, got into his caleche and drove from Letozhka, a village 3.5 miles from Turitino, to the place where the attacking columns were to meet. He sat in the caleche, dozing and waking up by turns and listening for any sound of firing on the right as an indication that the action had begun. But all was still quiet. A damp, dull autumn morning was just dawning. On approaching Turitino, Kutuzov noticed cavalrymen leading their horses to water across the road along which he was driving. Kutuzov looked at them searchingly, stopped his carriage, and inquired what regiment they belonged to. They belonged to a column that should have been far in front and in ambush long before then. "It may be a mistake," thought the old commander-in-chief. But a little farther on he saw infantry regiments, with their arms piled up, and the soldiers only partly dressed, eating their rye porridge, and carrying fuel. He went, sent for an officer. The officer reported that no order to advance had been received. "How not wreck?" Kutuzov began, but checked himself immediately and sent for a senior officer. Getting out of his caleche with drooping head and breathing heavily, he waited, pacing silently up and down, when Eakin, the officer of the general staff whom he had summoned, appeared, went purple in the face, not because that officer was to blame for the mistake, but because he was an object of sufficient importance for him to vent his wrath on. Trembling and panting, the old man fell into that state of fury in which he sometimes used to roll on the ground, and he flopped upon Eakin, threatening him with his hands, shouting and loading him with gross abuse. Another man, Captain Brozen, who happened to turn up and who was not at all to blame, suffered the same fate. "What sort of another blackguard are you? We'll have you shot. Scoundrels!" yelled Kutuzov in a hoarse voice, waving his arms and reeling. He was suffering physically. He, the commander-in-chief, a serene highness, who everybody said possesses powers such as no man had ever had in Russia, to be placed in this position, made the laughing stock of the whole army. "I needn't have been in such a hurry to pray about today, or have kept awake thinking everything over all night," thought he to himself. "When I was a chit of an officer, no one would have dared to mock me. And now..." He was in a state of physical suffering, as if from corporal punishment, and could not avoid expressing it by cries of anger and distress, but his strength soon began to fail him, and looking about him, conscious of having said much that was amiss, he again got into his caleche and drove back in silence. His wrath, once expended, did not return, and blinking feebly he listened to excuses and self-justifications. Ermolov did not come to see him till the next day, and to the insistence of Bennigsen, Konovitsyn, and Toll, that the movement that had miscarried should be executed next day. And once more Kutuzov had to consent. Alright, there we go. Another very short chapter down. Reddit user 100157 said, "At least these chapters are short." I think they're not going over too well, these last five chapters, with the readers, because we haven't had a look-in for five chapters now with any of our main characters. Five chapters is a little bit long to keep the reader waiting to see what's happening with the characters of the book. Unless you count Kutuzov. I don't really think anyone counts Kutuzov as a main character, though. Well, anyway, in today's chapter, Kutuzov is very angry. He is carrying out an ambush, an attack that he does not approve of, but he's been overridden, his hand has been forced. So he's put out the order, and what does he find? None of the soldiers are obeying him or taking him seriously. The soldiers who are supposed to be up waiting in ambush are just sort of mucking around back further down the track with their horses. He's finding everyone out of place. So they've had to postpone the attack till the next day. He gets understandably angry about this. Flips his lid a little bit. But then in that sort of true Kutuzov fashion, he cools off and takes it for what it is. Takes it in his stride and reassesses and proceeds in the best possible way. Calmly, yet again. Chattel Valster said, "Why did all this make Kutuzov snap? Is it just because his orders aren't executed, or is there more to it?" I think Kutuzov doesn't like being on the offensive. He doesn't like sending out people to begin an attack. He likes playing defensively, and he likes avoiding the conflict and waiting out the enemy as much as possible. I think this whole idea to advance, he doesn't like it. It's making him edgy, it's making him stressed. And when he finally gives in and says, okay, let's go ahead with this plan, he's probably extra cautious about making sure it all goes right. And when the officers and soldiers aren't doing what he said, what he ordered them to do, then, yeah, it's enough to make him flip out. He's not in his comfort zone at all. He doesn't like this plan. He doesn't like this course of action. It's not his strong suit. I would think that would be a big part of why this has made him flip out in this particular circumstance. Alright, that's going to do us for today. Let's hope that in the coming episodes, coming chapters, we get a look in with Pierre or Natasha or... I was going to say Prince Andrew, but yeah, I probably won't be getting much more Prince Andrew action. But yeah, let's see what our main characters are up to, hey? I'll remind you about the Patreon page. I'm hoping that when this year finishes, I continue this podcast as Hemingway's reading list and we keep reading through classic literature. I'd love to do that. So please, support the podcast through patreon.com/A Year of War and Peace podcast. Thank you very much for listening today. I'll see you tomorrow.